I invite you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1 if you haven't already. We're going to be reading James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Out of respect for God's Word, let's stand and we'll read verses 1 through 8 together. Let's begin in unison. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Please be seated. Thank you. How many of you are going through a trial today? How many of you are going through some kind of a trial? You know the definition of a big trial versus a small trial? A small trial is something you're going through. A big trial is something I'm going through. And that's really the perspective that we sometimes have. And let me just put it in perspective from some of the things we heard today. You know, we heard and have heard over these past days of these people that are, you know, from Syria and other surrounding areas, and they may not necessarily be Syrians. They may be other peoples that have moved to that area, migrated to that area, and they are having to leave. Their lives are being threatened, and they're coming into areas with nothing. Maybe a bag of clothes. No income. Sometimes the families get separated. Sometimes certain members are killed. I mean, that is a trial. Amen. But, be that as it may, we go through trials too. And if you didn't raise your hand, you know, saying that you're going through a trial, then guess what? Get ready, because most likely one is coming. A trial is something that God uses for each one of us. God uses these things even when they seem very, very unpleasant. One of the things that really bothers me, you know, about Christian TV and a lot of these programs is just, it paints the Christian life like it's this just fantastic, fabulous, wonderful, everything's great, you know, if you just put your faith in Jesus, just believe in Jesus, everything's going to be fantastic, you know, God's going to solve all your problems, you know, he's going to take care of everything in your life, all your financial problems, all your relationship problems, all your family problems, everything's going to be great. And that is the biggest lie that there is. And I've said this before, most of the time when you become a Christian, you get this big target painted on your back. And the evil one begins to target you with all kinds of things. I've recently come through the trial of my mother being ill. And, you know, it being my trial, it was a heavy burden. Best way I can describe it is there was pressure. And the thing is, in a trial, there's nothing really you can do about it. I just had to persevere through that. I can remember many times my sister and I discussing, you know, the situation and discussing my mom, and we were saying, you know, this can't go on much longer. This just can't go on much longer, can it? We would convince each other and convince ourselves that it's going to be over. Mom's going to pass in just a couple of days. The weeks went on, the weeks went on, the weeks went on. The weeks turned into months. The months turned into numerous months. And no amount of wishing, no amount of whining, no amount of complaining, no amount of grousing, no amount of growling, or even praying wasn't going to change it. Because you see, the Lord had a plan, and the Lord was going to take my mom when He was ready. He was going to take my mom to Himself when He was ready. Not when we wanted it. Not when we thought it ought to be. That wasn't going to happen. And so I had to deal with my attitude and my heart. I had to really work on growing in my faith and my perseverance. James here, who is the pastor, the leader of the Jerusalem church, he's writing to Jewish Christians, and you can see that as you read this letter, and he begins, right, verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. He's talking to Jewish Christians, people who were Jewish in background, but had put their faith in Messiah Jesus. Today, we often call them Messianic Jews. Jewish people who put their faith in Jesus Christ and trust Him as their Messiah. And he's writing to them. Now, what we think has happened is James is writing to those who were dispersed under the persecution in Acts chapter 8. Remember in Acts chapter 8 it said that there was a great persecution that broke out to the church in Jerusalem, and the believers there were primarily Jewish at the time. Gentiles hadn't yet come into the church. And these Jewish believers were spread. It says that they were spread out amongst the nations. And so James is familiar with them. He knows many of them. And he writes to them as a pastor. And he says to them, consider it joy when you face trials like this. Let's step into their boots for a moment. Let's see what has happened to them. They too are refugees. They have left the area that they've had their home. They're refugees, and they are scattered. They're undergoing a trial here, and other trials along with it, because think about it for a second, they're starting over. Because of persecution, they have to leave. And guess what? When you leave, when you're under persecution and you leave, you don't take time to pack the U-Haul. You throw what you can in a bag and you get out because your life's at stake. And so they have very little. They take very little with them, just like these modern day refugees. And they leave and they go to areas that they're not familiar with. They have nothing. They're starting over, very little income, if any. On top of that, they're facing rejection from their families because Jewish Christians were looked at as blasphemers. You're believing in this man, Jesus Christ, as He's God. He's God the Son. You're believing it. And so many families shunned Jewish Christians. They shunned them. And so they're undergoing tremendous pressure, tremendous trial. And I can imagine some of them probably communicated and said, James, what's going on? I thought this Jesus walk was supposed to be a good one. I thought this relationship with Jesus, the Messiah, I thought that things were supposed to be like positive. And really good. And this is not so good. And James says, my brothers, my sisters, consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds. That's not a sermon you're going to hear on popular TV, is it? In fact, it's, oh, if you get a trial, that's of the devil. Rebuke that thing in Jesus' name and get rid of it. I wish it was that easy, don't you? I wish it was that easy. But see, that's not what God's Word says. God's Word is this, and this is really the main point of the sermon. God wants to develop my faith and my perseverance through the trial. And since God wants to develop my faith, and He wants to develop my perseverance through the trial, I must have the right attitude and the right approach. And you see, it's kind of like a plane that's coming in for the landing, right? It comes, near the airport, and they have to circle around, and they have to get clearance, right, to land. And what happens is, when they, that better be Jesus, when they come in and they circle around, they have to get permission to land. Well, guess what? If things are not right, if the conditions are not right, or if there's other people ahead of them, there's other planes they have to wait for, they don't get permission to land. Guess what they got to do? Circle around. Circle around. Some of us here today, we're circling around. See, God's trying to take us through something. He's trying to grow us. He's trying to develop us. And we're just circling because we refuse to listen. We refuse to embrace what God is trying to do. James says, consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds. We've got to have the right attitude, the right approach. God allows these trials, watch this, because He wants to grow you and me. God allows these trials in your life and in my life because He wants to grow us. He's more concerned with our spiritual growth than our physical or emotional or financial comforts. He is. You go try and teach the health and the wealth gospel to these refugees and see how that works. There's several big televangelists, and I won't use any names, that have gone over to some of these countries like India, like Pakistan, and they try to preach to these crowds who have, they are as poor as dirt. And there's millions of people, and there's no jobs. We saw last week in that clip from Kosovo that they have 50% unemployment. 50%! Now you go over there and try preaching the health and wealth gospel to them, and people like look at you and scratch their head and say, well, guess what? I've been praying for 10 years and I still don't have a job. It doesn't work. Because you see, that's not reality. Reality is God has a plan for us, and you've got to embrace whatever the plan is, not what you think it ought to be or what you want it to be. Amen? Because you think it ought to be a certain way, it doesn't make it so. Isaiah 55, so my ways are much higher than your ways, says the Lord. My thoughts are much higher than your thoughts, says the Lord. And sometimes we get it confused, don't we? You see, the reason that He's more concerned with our spiritual growth is because you and I, as His sons and His daughters, are eternal beings. And as eternal beings, we are going to live eternally with Him. And so He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be right. All this other stuff, all the stuff, I talked about that last week, is temporary. It's all going to burn up. Not taking any of it to heaven with us. The only thing that's going to be is you and me and all those people that God uses us to reach out and to share the love and the gospel of Christ. Those that are saved, we are the only things that are going to heaven. The whole earth is going to burn up. The Lord tells us He's going to roll it up like a scroll and throw it in the fire. And yet, what do we spend most of our lives on? Stuff. I know we have to pay the bills. I understand that. I've got bills to pay too. You know, but we've got it out of kilter. And so the Lord allows these things, these trials, in our life. Well, let's define terms. What's a trial? What is a trial? First of all, a trial is not the same as consequences for bad choices. It's not the same. Although the principles are the same, and the way God works in it are the same. For instance, I'll give you an example. In my budget, I have X amount of money that's coming in. The money comes in, and the money goes out. That's how it works, right? The money comes in, and the money goes out. And most of the time, there's more going out that's coming in. Now, if I know my rent is due, and yet I go down to Kmart, or Walmart, or whatever mart, and I say, oh, man, I like that. I like that shirt. Get me that Walmart shirt. That's what this is, by the way. Walmart shirt. I'm going to get that. I like that. Oh, man. Look at this camping equipment over here. Oh, I got to have that. I got to have that deluxe air. It blows up by itself. You plug it in, you push it, it blows up by itself. No more wasting my lungs. I say all that because there's a bunch of families camping this weekend. That's where a lot of our folks are out, camping. I see this camp, man. I have a deluxe tent with air conditioning. I got to have it. And you spend all your money on stuff, and guess what? Next week you get to your rent, and oh, I don't have any money for my rent. That's not a trial. That's stupidity. I've made some really bad choices, and now I'm going to suffer for it. Now, in that, the principles remain the same. But don't blame that on God. Don't blame that on God. You've done that to yourself. And guess what? We all usually do that in many different ways, don't we? Shake your head yes, and don't be a liar. Yeah? Yeah. We all do those things. You know? We go online, look at the checkbook, and we're like, oh my goodness, I forgot about that. I didn't write that down in the checkbook, and oh man, we're going to bounce. And we all do things like that. That's not a trial in the sense of God bringing a trial to my life. A trial is this. A trial is a proving. It's a test. By implication, it is an adversity. And it's typically something that comes from the outside, externally. It's typically not something that I've caused in the sense of making a poor choice. Now, even with making a poor choice, the principles are going to remain. I'm going to show you that. Our brother Mike shared that he's going through a trial, a dry season. Many of us we've been out in the desert, right? You just feel as dry as a bone, and no matter what you do, no matter if you pray, as he said, you just can't get through this. He didn't do anything to bring that on himself. I think if you ask Mike, he'd say he'd been in the Word, been praying. You know, why does he have this? Because, you see, God wants to develop him just like he wants to develop you and me. God allows this because in the middle of it, he wants to develop us. And so God is testing us. God is proving our faith. God is testing if we're going to persevere by allowing us to go through these things, by allowing adversity, by allowing trials. What does verse 4 say? Perseverance must finish its work so that you and I are mature, not lacking anything. I'm telling you, this is the number one problem in the church today, at least in this country. I can't speak for other countries because I'm not there and I don't know the church, but this is the number one issue in the American church today. We have immature Christians and they refuse to allow God to take them through the process whereby they can persevere, grow in their perseverance, grow in their faith. What do we do instead? You know, we try to avoid the trial. We try to get out of the trial. I'm talking about myself here. You know, how can I fix this thing? How can I beat this? How can I overcome this? What angle? I mean, that didn't work. Let me come around over here, different angle. Man, I think I can overcome this. You know, I get on the phone. I'm out of money because I made bad choices. What do I do? Oh, hey, brother, man, man, the devil's attacking me. The devil's attacking me. And can you give me $50, man? First of all, shame on you because you just lied. Devil's not attacking you. Why not own up and say, man, I just made a really bad choice here. And brother, sister, would you have compassion on me? And guess what? Most people are going to be compassionate and say, man, I'll help you out. I'll do what I can. But we couch things in this spiritual jargon. We want to pitch it. We've got an angle. We're wordmeisters. You know what I'm talking about. And God's like, no, that's not how it's going to be. We try so hard. I'm going to fix this thing. I'm going to overcome this thing. I'm going to get around this thing. I'm going to go under this thing. I'm going to go over this thing. How can I get past this? How can I get through this? And sometimes, no matter how you pray, God just allows this trial, this adversity. You know, it's just like, I cannot get past this thing. There's a reason. It's because we're not listening. We're not listening. And we're not drawing near to God to say, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? See, as we unpack this, number one, you've got to understand that God uses trials to develop me. It's personal. He is trying to teach me something. He really is. And you see, as long as you resist, He just keeps turning up the pressure, turning up the temperature more and more because we won't listen. You see, we often get into a trial and then we blame others. We blame God. You know, we get into a bad attitude. We have a poor me pity party. Instead of stopping and saying, God, I don't know what you're doing, but Lord, I come to you and I just am truly asking, I'm truly seeking, Lord, what are you doing? What are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to teach me? Lord, what is it that you want to do? And, you know, I realized something as those months went by and my mom was lingering. You know what I realized? I don't have much faith. I don't have much perseverance. Man, I want everything done. I want it done now. I got plans, Lord. I got things I got. I don't have time for this. You know the way the Lord probably laughs at us a lot? He, you know, He's up there in heaven and He's just like, really? Laughs as He takes a bite of pizza. He does. He's like, hits that pizza and He says, this is for you, Tom. So you think you got it tough? Let me tell you about my son. Let me tell you about my precious son. Let me tell you about my son who went to Calvary. Let me tell you about my son who was broken and beaten and spit upon and mocked and rejected and hung on a cross and died our death, and His sins were piled upon Him. Our sins were piled upon Him. And you think you have trials. So sometimes God laughs. And so God is trying to develop your faith, and God is trying to develop my faith. And He's trying to develop perseverance in us so that I will become mature and complete in my life. Peter says the same thing. Peter, writing to the, and we looked at this just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Dave Kofelt is going to read that for us.
In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
So, Peter said, trials that come, they've come so that our faith can be tested, can be tried, because our faith is of greater worth than gold. You see, your faith, my faith, our life with God is of eternal value. And that is the main thing that He's concerned about in your life. Is He concerned about those other things? Yes, He is, but not as much as your faith and your perseverance. Our brother Mark Turbitt is here, and it's great to see he and Donna. And he was sharing with us that he has been through some trials. He asked me if he had to come up and speak. I said, no, I'll share it for you. I have to embarrass you, but you know, over a year ago, he had the heart procedures. I believe it was twice he had heart procedures because his heart had arrhythmia and wasn't beating right, and so he went through that. And then they moved to Florida. That was their first mistake, leaving this area. Anybody tries to leave this church, the Lord brings you right on back. He'll give you a trial until you come back, and they're back, only for a month though. So back in last fall, he started having trouble, got sick, I think it was the flu, and he started having trouble with the kidney, just trial after trial after trial. Right now he's actually on a waiting list to receive a kidney, has to have a kidney. So if you think you're going through a trial, go talk to Mark. You see, other people's trials are small, but the trials I go through are big. That's our perspective. But you see, that's why God allows us to see things in Scripture. See other people. That's why we are to look around us in the world around us and see people that are struggling with life-threatening issues and problems. You see, when we put it in God's hands, when we embrace, God, I don't understand what you're doing, but I embrace your work in my life, then you can be at peace. They shared how they finally just gave it to God. You see, because you can fight God. You can fight. And it's like you're banging your head against the wall. You know, you're not going to win. And you're not going to get out of it. Because God says perseverance must finish its work so that you become mature and complete. And so my challenge to us today is cooperate with God. Cooperate with God in His work in your life. And don't try to rescue yourself, and certainly, listen, you still with me? Say amen. Don't try to rescue others. We do such a disservice to them, and we interfere with God's work when we're trying to rescue people. Stop rescuing people. They have to face the consequences of the choice they make. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to have compassion, that you can't help, but, you know, sometimes, and this is especially so with children, you try to rescue them out of everything. You know, and you're not doing them any favors because they're not going to learn and they're certainly not going to seek God in it. Most of the time, children, until even after they're adults, what do? They come to the parents because they have an issue, they have a problem, and they want us to solve it. And we can't even solve our own problems, let alone theirs, you know. Now, that doesn't mean you don't help, but, you know, don't rescue them. And certainly don't try to rescue yourself. That's the attitude sometimes we have. So we have to have the right approach. An approach of saying, God, I embrace what you're doing. I don't understand it. I don't like it. But what does he say? Number two, we are supposed to have not only the right approach, but the right attitude. We are to have an attitude of joy in the trial. I was sitting there last night. I was like, how am I going to preach this? How am I going to preach this? Have joy in the trial. Well, first of all, let me just say, doesn't mean that you have to be a spiritual masochist. Okay? Does not mean that you have to be happy for the trial in the sense of, you know, oh man, I lost my job today. Thank you, Jesus. I don't think you said that, did you, Remy, when you lost your job a few months back? Don't be fake. Don't be a spiritual fake. I talk to people sometimes and, oh yes, I lost my job and I lost my house and I'm living on the street. But praise God, man, life is wonderful. Life is fantastic. Stop it. No, it's not. Now you can say, in this trial, you know what? God has given me His peace. God has given me His joy. Why? Because you see, joy doesn't mean happiness. Happiness is, I'm happy based on what's happening, right? Joy is this. It is kara, same root word as grace. Joy is cheerfulness, gladness. I'm keeping my attitude right before God because you see, even though things may not be going very well, I'm going through a trial, I'm still His son, or I'm still His daughter. He still loves me. He promises He will never leave me nor forsake me. He promises that He's going to meet my basic essential needs. He's going to walk with me through this whole thing. You know, so it's easy to say this and it's easy for me to preach this, but it's very hard to do this, isn't it? And I'm just going to say to you all, you know, if you're struggling this way here, then share with others and say, man, I am struggling. Can you pray for me? Can you please pray for me? I am struggling in this trial, and I don't have the right attitude, but I want to have it. I want to have the right joy. Please pray for me. See, that's being honest. That's being vulnerable. Instead of being a spiritual fake and saying, oh, yes, everything's fine, praise God. You come in here in church and worship the Lord, and I leave with my burdens not addressed. Because, you see, I won't be honest, and I won't won't really embrace what God's doing in my life. It was tough when I went through that trial with my mother. It was probably one of the most difficult things that I've gone through. You know, yes, my father died 2.5 years ago, but it was quick. You know, he got sick and in a matter of like, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks, he had passed. This went on for 6 months, you know, where every day we're expecting mom to pass and, you know, one day she would sleep all day long and seem like she was taking her last breaths and we were like, oh, we better prepare ourselves. We call the family and, you know, the next day we go and she's wide awake and she's eating and she's chatting and we're like, what? It was like yo-yo. It was tough. It was, you know, and I appreciated the prayers, but I still had to go through it. He still loved me. He is with me. He's going to walk through with me. And he's still working for my good. Amen? He's still working for my good. Romans 8:28, it's a promise you and I need to know by heart. In all things, God works together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. See, that's the hard part right there. Knowing that whatever his calling is for my life, I'm embracing it and I'm walking through it with the right approach, the right attitude. So number three, as we end up here, in the middle of this trial, James says, ask for wisdom in the midst of this trial. Ask for wisdom. Isn't it interesting that he tacks that on there? You might think, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem to be relating, but it does. Watch this. I'll show you. So we're in the middle of the trial, and he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. You see, so often we're in a trial, we're in a difficult time, and what do we try to do? We just try to figure it out ourselves. I don't know how many times I've talked to people, and, you know, things are bad. They're really bad, and I'll say, well, what are you going to do? I don't know. I'll figure it out. Really? You're that smart, huh? You're going to figure this out. Instead of saying, you know what, I don't really know, and can you pray with me? Because I need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom in this. You know, God, please, do you have any wisdom for me in this? Do you have any discernment? Please give me insight on this. This is the goal. This is what James is really wanting us to get to. What is wisdom? It is the application of God's truth and principles to our life. See, this is what God wants us to get to. This is what we're to be all about in our lives. Because it's the application of God's truth and principles to my life. And guess what? Not just in the good times, but in the difficult times, in the trial. That's what I need to know. I'm going through this trial, Lord. How can I apply your truth to my life in this? And I tell you, I'm just not clever enough to do that on my own. I need God's wisdom. But he says, you have to believe, you have to ask in faith, and don't doubt. See, I believe God wants to give you and me that kind of wisdom, especially in the middle of a trial, in the middle of adversity. Proverbs 4:5, get wisdom, get insight, and do not forget or turn away from my words. Do you hear the proverb? Challenging us. Get wisdom in the middle of this thing. Get insight. And don't turn away from my word. I mean, that's, you know, I've heard so many people, you know, come into a tough time. You're like, you know, this Jesus thing, this walking with Jesus, it's not working. You know, I give up. Tough times come, you know, and the enemy especially gets new believers with this. Tough times come, and we're like, man, I didn't sign up for this. This is too hard. Right, Bill? I didn't sign up for this, man. It was better before I came to Jesus. It was easier. Well, that may be true because we were completely ignorant and completely out on our own, not even knowing what's going on. When you come to Jesus, things can get tough. And I believe God wants us to have wisdom. He really, really wants us to have wisdom. So we must ask in faith, which is believing and trusting, and not doubt, which is wavering. Why? Because he tells us that if we doubt, verse 6, we're going to be like the one who is tossed back and forth in the waves of the sea, blown and tossed about by the wind. You see, Life has a way of tossing us around. And even other people. Even other people. Remember Job's wife? Oh, Job. Job, here's the best advice I can give you. You ready, Job? Curse God and die. That's pretty good, huh? I don't know about you, but I'm glad my spouse doesn't say those kind of things to me. Curse God and die. Woo! That's a good one. That's a good one. I'm going to put that on the wall on a plaque. Yeah. God wants us to have wisdom right in the middle of the trial and trust Him. Ask for wisdom in the middle of it. That application of God's truth, His principles to my life, and He wants to give it to us. I believe that with all my heart. But you got to receive it on His terms. The right attitude, the right approach. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 21, verses 21 through 22. Jason Young will read that for us as we close.
Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer.
Now, Jesus is not giving us the genie list here. There's a lot of people that have misunderstood the scripture. It's not a genie list. You know, God, this is what I want. I'm going to say it and believe it, and I'm going to receive it. What He's teaching us is, yes, you must have faith. And in your faith, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed. I can speak to that mountain, and it may be removed, but guess what? It's going to be in God's time. It's going to be God's way. Please don't ever think that you're wiser than God and that you can tell God what to do. And unfortunately, there's a lot of popular preaching. That's what people do. It's not about that. It's about trusting, having faith, which means I place all of my trust into God and whatever He's doing in my life, knowing that He has the best outcome for me. That's what Jesus... This is an example of rabbinic extremism, where they make an extreme point to make a point. And his point is, believe and don't doubt. Trust God. Trust God in the middle of the trial. So if you're here and you're going through a trial, God has wisdom for you. And if you haven't started the trial yet, check your calendar. It's coming. Let's pray. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, for your promises, your wonderful promises, that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And Lord, that you're always working for our good because we love you and we're called according to your purpose. Lord, help us to persevere in the trial. And Lord, help us to encourage one another. Sometimes we kind of step back and say, man, I'm so glad I'm not going through that, Lord. That's the time we're to intercede and come alongside our brother or sister and encourage them as they're going through a trial. So, Lord, give us that sensitivity. We thank you for your wisdom. Lord, we desperately need it. Lord, if there are those here today that just feel overwhelmed, just overburdened in the middle of a trial, Lord, let them not leave without receiving prayer and encouragement from our brother and sister here. Lord, I thank you for these folks. I thank you for their attention to your word. I thank you, Lord, for our willingness to hear your word and not just hear it, but to obey it. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the people of God said, Amen. 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 God bless you. First time folks, I'd love to meet you out in the lobby. Have a blessed rest of the day.